Mountain, West Connection, it's a podcast, it's a podcast, it's a mountain, West Connection, it's a podcast, it's a podcast, it's a mountain, West Connection, it's a podcast, it's a podcast, it's a mountain, West Connection, it's a podcast, it's a podcast, it's a mountain, West Connection, it's a podcast, it's a podcast, it's a mountain, West Connection, it's a podcast, it's a podcast, it's a mountain, West Connection, it's a podcast.
All right, welcome to the latest Mountain West Connection show here. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. You know the rest, Mountain West Connection Facebook, MWC Connection Twitter. Jeremy Moss here. Chris is back with us. Hello, Christopher Hondris.
What's up?
He's back. New theme song. Hope everybody enjoyed it because it's. I didn't get it until I read what it was, but it works well. People seem to like it.
Are you serious? I didn't get any response, so I don't like. I wasn't sure. Like, I remember when I did the Hall & Oates one, people were like, "Oh my god, this is horrible," and "Oh my god, this is amazing." And then when I did the Kesha one, people were like, "Oh my god, this is amazing," and then people were, "Oh my god, this is horrible." I haven't had any response about this one yet.
There's a couple that were better than others. So, also, question for you. I know the NFL starting tonight, but how bad is that? I'd rather be watching or did watch Western Kentucky La Tech over Patriots Steelers for a while.
It's not bad at all.
There's a lot
college
of
football is better than the clown flood of the NFL.
There's a lot of points in that game, so that was always nice so far in the first half right now. As for a show, we normally get this out Wednesday. Stuff happens, so we're doing it Thursday. So if you're a Utah State fan, you better get to this show tonight, or depending when you're listening to it, hopefully it's before Friday night at 7 Mountain Time. So we don't need to discuss news. We don't want to make this a 100-minute show, and we have 11 games this week, and they're actually a good team, so we can't just screw around and waste time. So let's just get started. Utah State at Utah, number 24 Utah, ESPN2, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, 7 local time there. Did you attempt to watch the Utah State game last week on their camera?
I did not attempt.
You're a better man than me because I tried and turned off like 5 seconds in because I could not see a thing. But this, I don't like. Should we just throw away what happened for Utah State or against Southern Utah, or do we need to actually look into it and say maybe they're not that good?
I think we throw away the first game. I think we, I mean, 5 receivers are out. You can't do much about that.
Defense looked good.
So, how many receivers are back this week?
I know Hunter Sharp still suspended. I believe Travis Van Loon is back. They're just hurting. The offense line was terrible. I don't think they're all serious at all. But still, you can't be when your offensive line's that bad with who was missing and who's returning. It still shouldn't be that bad against a bad FCS team. Southern Utah was 3-9 last year. Mm-hmm. But right now, Utah is a 12-point favorite, which is probably about right. Because Utah didn't look that great versus Michigan. They looked pretty good, but not that good. Their defense had 3 interceptions, and they had a pick 6. But the offense, you've seen Travis Willis enough playing Utah State, playing other teams. He's just an okay quarterback. He's not going to light you up for 350 yards and 3 touchdowns.
I actually believe he did that against Colorado State during the Vegas Bowl last year. I was watching it. Remember, at that game.
I think you're correct on that. I apologize. That is, yeah, that's, sorry about that. That's probably the case. But typically, but again, no offense to Colorado State. Their defense isn't quite what Utah State's defense is.
True. But that being said, that offensive line, and if Utah State does not have the ability to score points, this line is 12.5. Utah favorites. I could easily see the 2 touchdowns being covered even with Utah State's really good defense and the score literally being like 17-3.
That's what I was thinking as well, because here's the thing. Utah got zero sacks against Michigan, and Jason Fanaka, defensive end, got no sacks. They have Johnny Paul didn't get a sack. They are a team that want, they like nicknamed T-shirts, Sack Lake City, because they keep getting sacks. They got zero. So if this offensive line for the Aggies is that bad and shows no improvement, Chucky Keaton will be running for his life the whole game.
Yes, but not sacked.
Well, good point. But it's still, it's a game where Chucky Keaton didn't look good throwing the ball. They had no receivers. They have LaJuan Hunt, who looked really good running the ball. He had, what, I believe, 80-plus yards on the ground. But there's nothing spectacular at all about what they did. And, like I said, do we just throw it away? I don't know what to really make of it, because the only reason they won was because Andrew Rodriguez's was an 80-plus yard punt return.
Yeah, so here's my key to the game. Rodriguez has to be effective on special teams. If he isn't, and Utah State isn't getting the field position...
Excuse me, Andrew Rodriguez, that's who it is, sorry.
Yeah. If Rodriguez is not getting the field position on those punt returns, on those kickoff returns, this game, it will get ugly fast, and it doesn't matter how good Utah State's defense is.
Well, they won't, because Utah has probably the best punter in the country. And so there's going to be few and far kick return, punt returns at all. And so that's probably going to wipe out any special teams advantage Utah State has, unless Tom Hackett shanks a punt or it's so deep back there that he can't pin him out of bounds or anything. He's that good, and they need to try to get the ball, but I don't know if they can. Just watching him punt, he got shammed pretty bad. He kicked that clearly at about the 5-yard line, but the refs gave him a touchback versus Michigan. But he's probably the best part of the country, and he'll make sure Utah State will have zero chance for a return.
And as good as Utah State's defense is as well, they have to control Devontae Booker.
And he didn't look look good in that game. He did not look good.
He didn't look good, but there were plays that he was definitely explosive.
Yeah, he was, but I think Utah State's defense is similar to Michigan. He caught balls out of the backfield, which was a thing, but linebacker, I don't know how much success we'll have on that. And here's an interesting note, too, real quick. The latest ESPN projections for bowl games, Utah State's still in the Fiesta Bowl for some reason.
Did they not watch last week?
Brett McMurphy because he has Notre Dame versus Utah State, and this was 2 days ago.
Interesting.
So really quick, you say Utah State loses and doesn't cover at all?
Yeah, I say Utah covers.
I think it's going to be a lower, like you said, lower scoring game. It's not going to be a blowout, but it'll be like two touchdowns, like the game a couple years ago. All I want to see really quick is if Chucky Keaton gets better and have the offense show some life. That's all I want to see. Utah's defense is really good, but I'm wanting to see if Chucky Keaton can do something better and get some people involved to move the ball.
If Van Leeuwen's back, that's one receiver back that Chucky Keaton has an option to throw to.
True.
And that should be fine.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I just don't think they'll win. So watch it tomorrow night against ESPN2. I said it's a.
I think points are going to be scored. I think this final outcome is going to be it's going to be like 34-20.
All right. So next game, we're going in time order here, and I'm logged in, so I have a different game. There are a bunch of games that are very, very interesting for me this weekend. Not just a couple, but there's a lot of games. I don't know how I'm going to watch enough games I want to watch, because honestly, last week I watched part of UNLV. And I watched most of Boise, Washington. That's about it. I watched a little bit online, I think Fresno, but I didn't try to watch many games because they're all streaming or they're just not worth watching. This week, I want to attempt to see part of almost every game. And the first game, like Minnesota, Colorado State, because Minnesota, it's like, oh, it's Minnesota. They're a 5-point favorite. But here's the thing. They hung with TCU pretty close. They're going to be a team that could contend for their, what are they, in the Big Ten West, I believe. So that's the non-Ohio State division, is that right?
Yeah.
If I'm correct. They're a good enough team to probably win that division, because looking at who they play, they're good anyways, but their toughest games probably, they still play Ohio State, but outside of that, Michigan's not very good, Nebraska's okay, Purdue's terrible, Northwestern's pretty good, but I think it was Wisconsin. We'll see. What Colorado State, you've seen what Minnesota's done. They run the ball quite a bit. Like, if you remember that game last year versus San Jose State, they just ran and, they 1-for-7 passing or something. They didn't want to do any of that.
Minnesota does not have an effective running game at all. However, Trayvon Boykin was not able to do anything last week, and he was supposed to be a Heisman hopeful.
Yeah, not so much anymore. Because what they did, like, defensively, he threw pretty well. He just wasn't accurate. He had 245 yards, but he was less than well under 50%. TCU ran well against him. Boykin had 92 yards. He had a pretty good game. He was just stifled for the first half. But throwing, he ran the ball too many times. When your quarterback runs 18 times, that's not what they want. But on the Minnesota side, again, they have Rodney Smith, who had 88 yards. They'll run the ball well, but the Rams defense, I don't know what to make of the Rams because I'm kind of guessing they beat Savannah State a shut, was it? Did they shut them out? Or they, whatever, they won convincingly.
It doesn't, like 67-3, I think.
Some ridiculous. I was thinking New Mexico won 66-0. This is a home game. It's going to be a sneaky game. People are probably like, oh, Minnesota's going to win. They're going to win. It's like, well, I don't know if that's the case because, remember, they have the best receiver in college football, Rashard Higgins. And Nick Stevens, yeah, he played his first game ever, but he was very good. Not just accurate, but 5 touchdowns. He light up an FCS team, but when he's that accurate, it's hard. You can't ignore accuracy for that much.
Yeah, it's like Kellen Moore, right? Kellen Moore, it didn't matter who he played or how many touchdowns or interceptions he got. The key was the guy threw the ball for consistently between 70 and 75% and had a couple games in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, he was 20 for 28. And here's what we're concerned about the running game, but they have Jason Oden Jr., who led the team with 74, and Izzy Matthews had 53 yards. So they got plenty of running backs, Darren Thompson. There are some young guys. It's not going to be the other guy, anybody but Oden. And Minnesota's shown that they can give up yards, so I gotta go with the Rams are gonna win because Minnesota's good, but I don't think people realize while Colorado State probably is gonna take a step back overall, I don't think Minnesota's this team monster Big Ten team. They're just an improving Big Ten team. They do a lot of things pretty good, but I don't see one area where like yeah they'll shut down this spot on the game. They'll probably their secondary's pretty good because they shut down Trayvon Boykin, and that could be an issue, but. TCU does have Rashard Higgins on their team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Colorado State wins this. Or if at least, at the very minimum, they cover the spread, which is -5 right now.
They're going to win. Outright victory. They're going to win. Probably.
I think you're right. I think Colorado State's going to win this.
They'll be
that means that they're going to be up near the top of the Mountain Division.
Yeah, it'll be 2-0. And I think overall, like with Bill Connolly's big preview, he'll see a step back, but 8 games probably, or 8 victories probably, is the case for them. All right, next game. There's a couple at the same time. We'll go Hawaii at Ohio State.
Oh, my God, Hawaii's uniforms.
Heck yeah. We got the Rainbow Warrior uniforms back in action. They released a video. It's on their website. Check it out, the unveiling of that. It's the white uniform with the rainbow trim, the UH on the side. For some people,
can we just say they need to just wear this 100% of the time?
Yeah, and I don't get
their home rainbows, their away rainbows. They cannot just stop wearing it.
Sure, and there's some people on Facebook like, oh, this is terrible. Why do they have this uniform? And they're from Hawaii or they went to Hawaii. It's like, and they're like, when did they become the Rainbow Warriors? Well, technically they are.
Were always the Rainbow Warriors. They changed year 2000. Thank you, June Jones.
Yeah, stupid June Jones.
When they changed back to the Rainbow Warriors? 2014, and they are damn proud, or at least the old crowd is really damn proud of it.
And uniforms are nice. They're different. It's something, and they could do so much with these uniforms. As for the game, I don't know what to say of the game. Did you know?
Does it help that Ohio State didn't look like great for the first 3 quarters of that game?
Well, Virginia Tech had a reasonably good quarterback until he got hurt.
Yeah. Right after halftime.
Yeah, here's the thing. This game, it's a 41-point line, but no, it's even more interesting. It opened up at 38, so people were not convinced that Hawaii could cover 38 points.
I'm still not entirely convinced that Hawaii can cover 38 points, but you know, once it hits that 40, I mean, we know Urban Meyer has a tendency to stomp on people's throats, but it's too many points.
And I'm taking Hawaii regardless. Even if it's 38, I take Hawaii. But what are we going to see? They're going to play. They have all the quarterbacks: Cardale Jones, Braxton Miller, JT Barrett. I think they'll put all 3 at QB because even though Cardale Jones was the only quarterback, Braxton Miller rushed the ball, received the ball. I think he's not, well, let me backtrack. He might not play QB, but it doesn't matter. They'll probably stick Barrett in there a bit more. And it's just going to be, it's going to be a blowout, but I don't think Urban Meyer is just going to run it up to run it up. He'll probably play the first half really tough and kind of go with it. But the only way I could see Hawaii doing anything is Marcus Kemp. He's a pretty good quarterback. Max Whittick, for all the hype, he wasn't impressive at all in that first game against Colorado. And Colorado's bad.
Yeah, what I think what happened with that last game is, no, he didn't look impressive, but there were a minimum of 10 drops in that game, too.
And yeah, that's a good point as well. I watched a little bit of this. This was super late. But Marcus Kemp...
just like the UNLV game, UNLV had a minimum of 10 drops in that game as well. But there were a lot of drops. Whittick has to have a little bit more communication with his players. And I think that's going to clear up. I still don't think he's going to be your 70% accuracy pass thrower. He's going to throw rockets. But catch a few more of those rockets, and I think it'll be close in the first quarter.
Well, here's the thing as well. Max Whittick hasn't played a game in a couple of years. So it could have just been first, not jitters, but like, oh, first game back and kind of anxious, I would say. Marcus Kemp might make a touchdown. They'll keep it. They're not going to keep it close. They might score. If they get 17 points, that would probably be pretty high. But they're going to cover the 41 points. And that's all I got. Just stay healthy, right? Is that what we want for Hawaii?
Yeah. Hawaii did cover, but there's no way they're winning at all.
And that game, what I mentioned, it's on the Big Ten Network, so you can check that out there. So next... did we stop recording? No, we did not. Sorry. I pushed a button on my recording thing here. I thought we stopped. So let's keep going here. Next game, there's another 1:30 Mountain, 3:30 Eastern, whatever, 12:30 Pacific, as I list every time zone but Central. It'd be nice if I kept my schedule on one screen, right?
But yeah, absolutely.
Fresno app, Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Ooh. We did a Q&A with the guys at Red Cup Rebellion, so check that out with Matt Kennerly. Ole Miss is 17. It's on ESPN2, so that's good. Ole Miss, this line jumped from 20 to 30. That's a lot of points in 1 week.
Well, for one, Fresno State didn't look great. Fresno State didn't look as great in their win as they should have. At the same time, Mississippi looked very good in their win last week.
They played UT Martin. Come on.
And Fresno State played.
I'm just saying, you say they looked really good. Yeah, he scored 76 points. Their quarterback played Chad Kelly. They're just chucking it deep. He had 211 yards on 15 attempts. It's hard to tell. That's all we could say. They dominated. They had one turnover, it looks like. It's just hard to tell why they're more, let's just say this, like you're right. They're more dominant than Fresno was against Abilene Christian, who is a new FCS school, and that's concerning, I guess.
Yeah.
Quarterback play is still an issue, right?
Absolutely. I think the only thing that's going to stay Fresno State in this game is Marquise Waller.
That's where I'm thinking they'll keep it close, because he averaged 7 yards a carry, didn't score, but Zach Greenlee went 14-32, and I'm assuming, I haven't seen anything otherwise, I'm assuming he's still the starter. I should probably look that up, but I'm assuming he's a starter at Ole Miss. And Ole Miss, they're a good SEC team, probably very good. Like I said, they're ranked top 20. I want to see Fresno keep it close, but the quarterback play is what I want to see the most. Win or lose, I want to see something out of the quarterback play and sticking to just one quarterback.
Yeah.
Because we knew they were playing Virgil that game anyways. We just didn't know how much. And against an FCS school, I'm fine with it. It doesn't matter. But do you think Waller can do anything to keep them in this game?
No, nothing's going to keep them in this game. I'm not sure I'd take the full 30 points, but it's going to be at least a 3-touchdown game.
3 touchdowns. That's a lot of points. I'm looking at a few things here for Fresno. That's on the QB, so I assume it's going to be Greenlee being the starter. Here's the problem. Well, it's hard to tell. Like, I'm reading the Fresno B-Dev stuff here. Like, here's Ole Miss. They had 10 explosive plays for 20 or more yards in a victory. But again, it's hard to tell who's real, if they're really that good or it's like who they're playing. I'm probably going to lean more toward that they're that good, like you said. But again, you're playing Tennessee Martin. And, oh, here we go. Hold on. Here we go. Here's what we wanted to hear. The Bulldogs will play two quarterbacks in Zach Greenlee and Jason Virgil, and the Rebels are expected to play three. Junior.
Yeah, the first quarterback to play the first half, the second quarterback to play the third quarter, and the last quarterback to play the fourth quarter.
So this is the
up 4-5-0.
This game can be called the quinterback game because there's going to be five QBs on the field.
Yes, we've coined the quinterback again.
I change. I think it's O'Parker. Anytime there's more than one, I'm still calling it the quinterback. I don't care.
We must change our lectionary.
I'm just saying more than one. It's better than saying the quadrant or whatever we made up a couple years ago. So yeah, look for multiple QBs. So this. I'm hoping, like you said, Fresno will just go first half, second half or something if it's out of control. But there could be interest because if the Fresno defense does anything against the Ole Miss, maybe perhaps they have to shuffle QBs, and that could be a chance to keep it closer than we think. If they're rotating in either for inefficiency or just because, and it's not working well, I know I'm reaching here, but that could be one area where they might have some success if they can do something defensively.
Yeah, absolutely. But offensively, the key to Fresno State even attempting to win this game, Martez Waller needs to have 150 yards.
Like he had last week. But touchdowns too this time. He needs touchdowns. Yeah. It'll be close. I think. No, it's not going to be close. Let me rephrase that. It's going to be closer than the line says. I think they'll keep it within 20 points. But it'll be, I think if the big plays are true, I think Ole Miss will go ahead and keep doing that. And dominate, and Fresno might make a late comeback just to put points on the board. So, sorry, Fresno fans, you're probably not winning this one. But next game, do we have to talk about Eastern Michigan and Wyoming? Do we? Can we skip it?
Fine.
That's
no, we can't skip it.
You know what's the most bizarre thing about this game? We know how bad Eastern Michigan is, right? They're one of the worst FBS teams. They lost to Old Dominion in their opener 38-34 last week. And yet Wyoming lost to, what's it, South Dakota, an FCS school. Do you know? North Dakota. That's right. How is Wyoming a 2-touchdown favorite?
Dude, Eastern Michigan is bad.
But Wyoming lost to FCS school with Brian Hill and Sean Wick combining for under 80 yards.
Don't ask me about that. But North Dakota.
You got nothing. I know it. You have nothing.
Holy hell, they're not even ranked in the top 25.
Wyoming's that bad then?
They are ranked 27, 28. They're ranked 29th in the FCS poll. Wow.
I know Cameron Kaufman got a little banged up, but he's expected to play and was throwing again at practice on Wednesday. I'm just going to pick Wyoming to win and win big. I'm just saying because Eastern Michigan's terrible, and I don't want to pick a low-level MAC school to beat Wyoming.
Are you taking the 2-touchdown?
Of course, I am.
Yeah, I think Brian Hill and Sean Wick are coming back with a full head of steam this game.
Give me at least 150 yards combined. Is that too much to ask? Is that too much to ask, 150 combined?
No. It should be like 200 combined.
Well, I mean, just in general, 150 would be what I'd like to see. Minimum.
Yeah, I'd say that's reasonable.
Well, because we mentioned during the preseason and offseason stuff that this running back combination was probably number one of the conference. And to show up or not show up as it did, it's really bad. Because who else is really better? Like, yeah, was it Chad Young, I believe, at San Diego State? He won't get that many carries. Boise has a gaggle of guys, but nothing really a number one guy. McNichols is pretty good, but not from we expected. And Nevada,
Devin Demas.
But they're not. I'm just saying that what we've seen out of both guys, Hill and Wick, either guys could be a starter anywhere, it seems like, and both of them looked like the third string running back.
absolutely.
All right, we don't need to talk about this game anymore. Next game I want to talk about is probably this. Is this weird to say this could be my most excited game this weekend, San Diego State at Cal?
Yes, absolutely, because both these teams beat FCS schools last year. Cal utterly destroyed Grambling State, and the Bear Raid was in full form. Where San Diego did really well, against USD, Donald Pumphrey, showing why he's the Mount West leader for Player of the Year, MVP. But it's going to be – the reason why it's going to be exciting is because it's going to be that San Diego State defense, that 3-3-5 nickel, versus Cal's let's just throw it as deep as possibly can, Jared Goff.
Did you happen to have a chance to read the California Golden Blog's look at the 3-3-5 defense?
No.
They have visual aids. They have lots of good stuff on there. Definitely go read it. I read it and learned a lot as well. The 3-3-5, basically, it's what Gary Patterson did at TCU. New Mexico's done it with Rocky Long previously. And I think when Bronco Mendenhall is there as well, they ran that kind of, not a gimmick defense, but I call it a more athletic defense than anything. And it can give you, because the 3-3-5 can easily be a 4-3, a 3-4, something along those lines. And it just puts their best guys in the field. And the game for San Diego was terrible. Should never have happened. I think it's ridiculous. They even scheduled that game against, who was it, their coach, Ray D, said, yeah, we have football at San Diego just so kids can have some fun. It's like, come on, you shouldn't have a team or shouldn't be playing San Diego State. Regardless, I think, I want to say Rocky Long will have success against his defense, because Calvin Munson, yeah, he had two pick sixes. He's a pretty good defender back there. There's going to be athletes all over the field. And if you know you're playing that 3-3-5, you're always having athletic guys on there. So linebackers can be safeties, and safeties can be linebackers. So they might lack a little speed or size either way, but they're good enough to cover and stop the run.
And here's the other problem with San Diego State. Chase Price and Donnell Pumphrey only combined for 137 yards last week.
Whatever. I don't care at San Diego. It doesn't bother me one bit. They had three non-offensive touchdowns. They had a special teams return and two defensive touchdowns.
You're not going to have that against Cal.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, but if you're looking at the numbers and that's a concern, it shouldn't be, because they had three drives that were basically they didn't, or the three less offensive drives because of those other touchdowns. So that could have been another 60 yards combined, at least, if they had the ball for three more drives.
Fair enough.
But this, I don't want to be the homer and call they're going to win, but I think San Diego State could win, because as for the best player in the field, it probably is Goff there. But however, the best player to control the game is with San Diego State, Donald Pumphrey. Because receivers don't catch every ball. Hand off the ball was going to happen no matter what. You're not going to drop the ball. Basically, he can have more of an impact than the quarterback, because the quarterback has to have a lot of things go right to be successful. Running back, you have the ball, you take off and run. It's all you. Drops, you can't account for. But I don't see how a Cal is a 2-touchdown favorite.
I do.
Why?
I do, and I'm going to pick Cal. I'm going to pick Cal with that spread.
Whoa. You think they'll win that big?
Have you never seen the Bear Raid?
I have. I like it.
The 3-3-5 is not built to stop a Bear Raid offense. 3-3-5 is built to stop short slant passes, hard power running, and spread running, pistol-style offenses.
Mm-hmm.
The Bear Raid is completely dependent on lining up and mismatch against secondary. San Diego State, while they have a decent secondary, they don't have athletes that can just stay with Cal at all times, and especially not four or five Cal receivers all like jumping, like just going crazy all over the field. I think Cal wins this. I think this is going to be, I hate to say this, it's going to be something to the tune of like 42-28.
I get your point, because look what they did against Oregon State last year. They weren't
42-24 rather to cover the spread.
Yeah, they weren't very good last year against Oregon State, and that's a passing team. So I get your point, because Aztecs haven't shown up. Like the North Carolina game last year, there's the coaching miscues and those type of things, and maybe I'm thinking too much of this defense, but Maxwell Smith was just pretty terrible against a bad San Diego team. He was 9 of 21. So maybe I am. Maybe this is my dumb pick for the week, right?
Yeah, I think this is your stupid upset pick.
I just think, I don't know, maybe I trust the defense more than I should, because I also think San Diego State can beat Penn State as well. So maybe I'm just high on San Diego State for some reason.
No, Penn State's bad. I'm changing my earlier preview to Penn State definitely going to possibly lose to San Diego State.
When Temple sacks you 10 times, whew. I'm just going with, for some reason, I think Pumphrey's that good, and Rocky Long's a smart guy. We know he's going to run the ball a lot more than he did against San Diego, because he could have done whatever and beaten San Diego. It didn't make one bit of difference of what happened, really. Although, I guess Wyoming proved that wrong against FCS team, but I'm thinking he'll have a heavy dose of Donald Pumphrey. Chase Price will get about 10 carries, but got to be smart, Maxwell Smith. They need to... They throw the ball to a lot of receivers. I'm hoping, or I'm thinking the game plan would be to... It's like whenever anybody plays Air Force, keep the ball out of the offensive hands as much as you can. And I'm thinking Pumphrey can have a big game against this Cal defense. Because again, Cal, while they have offense, their defense is nothing to write home about either.
And their defense isn't going to be. But once again, you're talking about against Grambling State. I know, bad FCS team. But that was possibly the best defense Cal's ever played under Sonny Dykes' team.
The one they currently have, you mean?
Yes.
It's improving, but look at his teams at La Tech. He never had defense even when he was there for years.
That's what I said. This team's going to be the best. They're still going to give up tons of points.
And that's
why San Diego State's going to score 28 points, or 24 points. But it's just, their offense cannot keep up with Cal's offense.
Let me point you to this last year. I know it's last year, and I'm picking a stat that goes in my favor. They gave up 56 points to Colorado.
Right.
I'm just saying they did.
Okay.
They get to a backup quarterback against BYU, gave up 42 points.
That was last year. This is this year.
I know. I'm just saying. I just think I think we're both arguing the same thing. Their defense isn't very good. I'm just thinking the offense for Aztecs the defense will make a couple stops.
Because I'm to counter that with what you said.
Counter the counter?
Yeah, counter your counter. You know, last year, the most points Cal gave up last year, or the least amount of points Cal gave up last year, was 14 against Sacramento State.
That doesn't count.
Once again, okay. Then after that, they gave up 17. They gave up the next closest then. 24 against Northwestern. Northwestern did not have an offense last year.
Nope.
This Cal team is much better, much more improved than we're giving them credit for.
Well, we'll see. It's on the Pac-12 Network, so if you have it, check it out. 2 p.m. Pacific time out there. I'm going to find a way to watch it through. I have some login it I can get from people since DirecTV doesn't have it yet. I just think this will be an exciting game to watch. Regardless, it'll be... The over-under only was at 61. That seems a bit low for me. I think there'll be 70 points in this game, maybe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, next game. Another one I'm very excited for. Arizona at Nevada, number 22, Wildcats. It's 5 Mountain Time, 4 Pacific, CBS Sports Network. Arizona's a pretty large 11.5-point favorite, but they don't have Scooby Wright for about a month. And that's going to be a big deal because he's the best linebacker, best defender in the country. And they almost lost to UTSA, and UTSA has a similar style and offense to Nevada.
But they built out a giant lead against UTSA, and then the teams kind of got back in there.
It's only 14-0. UTSA.
Yeah, but I think it finished up. It was like 42-21, and then UTSA pulled it close.
Got to 35-20, and then 46-22. Yeah, they won. It's a comfortable victory, but it was always one of those games where you're two scores behind and can never keep up. They always got UTSA had a couple field goals, and that's the reason it was close. Similar, almost exactly to the Nevada game last year, where if Nevada didn't kick their first two field goals on their first two drives, they could have beat Arizona. But looking at Nevada and who they played last week, kind of at just the numbers a little bit, they seem to have the three. Yeah, it's UC Davis. I know another crappy FCS team, so it's hard to tell. Don Jackson looks to be the guy, their one main running back. James Butler's the number two, and then Tyler Stewart had enough rushing yards. They combined for about 225 rushing yards. Those two guys, or 230, excuse me. And that's what they need for that pistol offense. A one back, a second back, and then a QB to pitch him with 50 yards.
Yeah. I'm excited to see how kind of Nevada rebounds. They did well last week. But they still kind of, it was still almost kind of a letdown, even though they absolutely dominated their UC Davis. They let UC Davis a little bit back in garbage time, so I don't think they still played a full 60.
Yeah, I don't know if they had backups in there or what, but they scored 14-7 in the last quarter for UC Davis.
Yeah, I think they just could have dominated them much more. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
But Tyler Stewart did pretty well. The interception, or no, excuse me, that's not an interception, that's a touchdown. Did pretty well. He didn't need to do much. They won. They did what they did to win, but I think the way they have their running game set up, it's how Chris Ault used to have the offense, where you have three backs running the ball. And they have, like I said, one back, two back, then QB. But Arizona, they have a new Solomon. They bring back a ton of talent from last year. They got to stop Johnny Jackson. He had 8 receptions last week for 100 yards. They have a lot of receivers that can get in the end zone. And we saw what a new Solomon did versus Boise State. He can be good, but he can also have some issues. But I don't know what to make out of. UTSA defense isn't very good. We knew they'd give up a lot of points.
Right.
And this is at Reno, and Nevada almost beat them last year in Tucson. Do you think, you pining for an upset here at all in any measure?
No. And I think, what's the spread on this? Arizona's 10?
11.5.
Man, I hate to sound like a pessimist. I'm taking Arizona at 11.5.
I don't think Nevada's going to win. I think it'll be like last year's game. It'll be like the UTSA game. Arizona may pull away, but I think Nevada, again, I want to see these games before I make a good opinion, because that's hard. When you play crappy teams and you do above average, I just want to see them see what they can do running the ball. I think it'll be like a 10-point game, but it'll be just like UTSA. Arizona might be up 17-3, 17-10, 24-21, then score like 10 points or something like that, where it's in hand, but it's reasonably close by the final score.
Yeah.
We're moving pretty quick here. Let's go to our next game. We're only at 35 minutes, so that's not too bad. This game, if you can see it, I would highly, highly recommend. I say this about 4 games this weekend, but Tulsa and New Mexico look really, really fun.
Yes. Can I go ahead and easily say right now that New Mexico's going to win big?
You think so?
Tulsa had to take the game to overtime. Was that Tulsa or Toledo?
I'm not sure. Let's see who Tulsa played last week. I didn't look that up.
One of those two teams played FAU, and they were losing to FAU most of the game.
Yeah, it was 47-44 over FAU. Tulsa won overtime.
Yeah, that they were losing the whole game.
Yeah,
they had to get a bailout touchdown, and they finally closed the gap, and then they won it overtime. I think New Mexico you know what? Jarrell Presley wasn't even the top player for New Mexico last week.
Yeah, me and Parker recapped these games. I'm like, who is this guy? Who is this guy? Who is this guy running the ball? We had no idea who these guys were.
Everybody was running the ball.
And they're still missing, Taj Gibson for this game as well, I believe. I should double check, but I think he's Tarion Gibson. I think he's out as well. Check. I know he's out at least one game, but here's this game, because do you know who the new head coach for Tulsa is, right?
I want to say it's Bill Blankenship, right?
No, he's the former coach. I almost made that mistake writing something today. No, it's Philip Montgomery, former Baylor offensive coordinator. So it's same. It's a lot of the same. Tulsa's always had a high when they're going back into what Paul Smith was their QB, lighted them up. I think that Will Muschamp was their OC about 5 or 6 years ago in Tulsa. It's the same set type of offense, passing the ball, scoring a lot of points. So this will be the most extreme differences in games, because Lamar Jordan, he looks pretty good throwing the ball. He looks like a guy, we always said, if you have a guy who can throw the ball or pretend to throw, you're going to be good. But we don't know how good New Mexico's defense is. Yes, they had a shutout. They played a bad HBCU conference style team. Savannah State 66-0. It's a shutout, so it's you can only take positive from that. But I think this could be like a 40 points each, I believe. I don't see a blowout for New Mexico, but I do see New Mexico winning this game because this is a shocker. They're actually a home favorite, even though it's 3 points. They're a home favorite against Tulsa.
They're a home favorite. Yeah, exactly.
4 points now. Excuse me, 4 points. And the over/unders are freaking 75 points. 75 points.
Okay, so it's going to go over the 75. New Mexico is going to take it. I think Lamar Jordan, he's not going to be 10 for 10 or 11 for 11. But he'll still make enough big plays. He'll have 3 touchdowns in the, through the air. And Jarrell Presley is going to, you know, beat the 100 mark.
Yeah, if Lamar Jordan's sick, I want him to be, give me 7 of 11, I'll be fine for him.
Exactly.
That's at 100, giving me 200 total yards from him. That's all I'd like for him. That might be a little too much, but maybe 175. But they're going to win, but I think it'll be a close one. But it's going to be it's on ESPN3 at 6 local time during Albuquerque. Check it out. That's, again, I see check out every game, but that just because of styles, it's just going to be because people have told both of us, I don't care about like New Mexico's boring offense. Their offense is far from boring. Next, we have a conference game. Spartans at Air Force. San Jose State at Air Force. San Jose State showed up with a red zone offense last week somehow. Did you notice that? 4 for 4 in the red zone for touchdowns?
It's not just somehow.
How is Al Borges?
I refuse to admit it, but oh my goodness. They were dominant last week.
Gorgeous Al Borges is doing it for you?
And that was against a 7th-ranked New Hampshire team.
Also, I'm disappointed. Austin Lopez had a missed extra point and a blocked PAT. Unacceptable for him.
And they still won 42.
Well, it wouldn't matter, but he's a pretty good kicker. I'll say it again. It's New Hampshire, whatever, their FCS team. Joe Gray looked good. Kenny Potter looked good as well. It looks like Joe Gray's still going to be the starter, I think. I think they're listed as or on the depth chart. I think Gray will get the start because he had the touchdown, even though Kenny Potter went 13 of 14. Tyler Irvin and Tyler Winston is probably one of the better running back receiver combos in the conference, and they both looked pretty good. They need to have that again, and against Air Force, this will be the test of you and me about the Spartan rush defense.
Can it hold up from last week?
Well, can it hold up at all? Because Jacoby Owens didn't lead Air Force in rushing last week in their win. He was like 3rd or 4th on the list against Morgan State.
And they still beat Morgan State 63-7.
Yeah, they had 5 rushing touchdowns. They ran the ball 63 times for 394 yards.
Hey, look, triple option.
Yeah, the only one issue with Air Force, not issue, but one thing to look at, Nate Romine's not a running quarterback. He ran 3 times for -5. So if San Jose State can make him throw a little bit, which it's never going to happen, but if you have him, or excuse me, make him run a little bit, I should say, make him keep the ball on those dives or in read options and whatever option they want to throw in there because there's a million of them, that might be the most successful way to stop the running game is just knock over DJ Johnson, Benton Washington, Garrett Brown, and Jake LaCosta. Knock them over and hit them to make Romine beat them on the ground. And that could be the difference if San Jose State's somehow going to win, but I think Air Force is going to win pretty convincingly, even though they're only a touchdown favorite.
Yeah, I said it's going to be a 10-point win for Air Force.
But I think I will say this. I believe the Spartans, they'll give up yards because everybody gives up yards. I want to see them have a good yards per average. Like try to do it under 5. I think that would be successful for them defensively. It's like 4, so it would be pretty good. Next game, UCLA at UNLV.
Is that really the next game, or is Boise State BYU?
Oh, excuse me, 8:15. There is Boise at BYU. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be at the game. I'm very ticked about a situation that occurred here, but I'll be watching on TV.
3-point favorites, or rather 2.5-point favorites for Boise State right now. You know, Tanner Magnum looked good. He didn't look good. He looked decent. What really made him look dominant was that last drive against Nebraska. And the reason why that was looking so good was because of the fact that Nebraska played prevent defense. And I will tell you, if Nebraska gets position right, swats down that ball, we would not be talking about Tanner Mangum as a great quarterback. We'll be saying he did good his first start, but he's not quite there yet.
I agree. That last drive, they were, however, that last play where they, I think it was a fourth down play where they got before the Hail Mary, that was an excellent throw. And Nebraska was, I don't think they're playing too much prevent on that one play. Part of it they were, but the last play before the deep toss, that was a,
fantastic catch. I know which one you're talking
about. Yeah, the right on the sideline. Yeah, that was a great throw, great catch. But again, people are still, I'm here in town and people are like, oh, it's still 8 wins. I'm like, people were barely seeing 8 wins with Taysom Hill, who was a top 10 QB nationally. Now you have a true freshman making his first start. And I was at his press conference the other day. He seems poised, seems confident. The head coach, Bronco Mendenhall, wanted him to be a little more nervous. He's like, cool, whatever, I'm just playing. I'm doing my thing at quarterback after not playing for 4 years. But here's the biggest loss. Like, he might be okay, but here's the thing. You know who Darian Thompson is and Dante Dion. They're pretty good defensive backs, right?
Right.
I think Darian Thompson is the number one rated free safety for the NFL draft. And they're all, 6'1", 6'2". They'll match up fine to the BYU receiver, so over 6 feet tall. And so,
yeah, most of Nebraska secondary was between 5'9", 5'10".
And this defense is much better, I think, than Nebraska's.
Mike Riley defense. Non-existent.
Here's the thing. Watching this game, we're kind of both team, BYU Nebraska a little bit, because Boise's offense didn't look good versus Washington all that much. Here's why I think it's only 3 points. I have a sneaking suspicion this could be a big blowout win, but I'm thinking maybe 10 to 14 points either way. But here's the biggest loss. Jerry McNichols is a good running back for BYU, or Boise. He's done pretty well. BYU lost their nose tackle, Travis Tuilioma. And you could see the difference when he was not in the game, how Nebraska just attacked and attacked, ran the ball well when he left. And he's not in the game. The backup is nowhere near that level. So I'm expecting a huge running game by McNichols, Kelsey Young, whoever's going to run the ball for, even if they give it to, Shane Williams-Rhodes, give him the ball a little bit. I'm thinking Boise will have a much better running game this week just because that nose tackle is so good and he's gone.
Yeah, Jeremy McNichols, I think, is the number one back, but Kelsey Young is definitely more of the 1995 Nebraska-style running back.
Without that strong nose tackle there,
I think Kelsey Young's just going to – I think he'll be the leading rusher out of this Boise State Dangerous trio, and he'll take him down.
Yeah, he will. They have a good linebacking crew. Bronson Kafusi will be in the NFL, but he's got to make plays. And one thing Boise needs to look out for, offensive line has five starters back. Everybody has 15 career starts by now, at minimum, two all-conference linemen. One thing I noticed in that Nebraska-BYU game is that they were getting pressure, and Ryan Finley doesn't seem terribly mobile, but if he can extend the play a little bit, that's how Tommy Armstrong was able to keep the plays going. I know he's more mobile than Ryan Finley, but if Finley can do some sidestepping, do a little bit, that'll go a long way because BYU's secondary is not very good. And looking at, like you told me this, who, out of all the position groups on this between the two teams, the only one I see better that BYU than Boise is the wide receiver, and that's it. Everything else is Boise State or even.
Yeah, so you tell me, Boise State or BYU?
I'm going Boise State.
I'm going with Boise State as well.
And
for me, that's a homer pick, but the team seems overall a better team.
I just think, just one quick thing, I know we got to wrap this up soon because you got to go, but this reminds me exactly of the Grant Hendrick taking over for Joe Southwick a couple years ago. Southwick got injured in the game. Hendrick came in versus Nevada, did what he wanted, had an awesome game. They played BYU the next week, his first career start, played terrible. The only difference is that this is a home game for Tanner Mangum and BYU, but this reminds me almost exactly like that. And I'm wondering if he'll be overwhelmed, or we know Boise will have something for him defensively because who they have back, but I think this game reminds me of that game a little bit. Final game, UCLA versus your hometown Rebels. Can I still call them that, your hometown Rebels?
Yes.
I don't like 30 points. That's a lot.
Yeah, especially, I know Jake Browning, true freshman, the greatest thing since. You mean Jermaine Winston.
You mean Rosen? Rosen, you mean?
Yeah, Josh Rosen, sorry.
The next. Browning was Washington. That's right. The next Peyton Manning.
But I
that's what people are saying.
He's not the second coming of Joe Montana. Sorry.
No, Peyton Manning.
Whatever.
He's a good freshman QB, right?
He's a good freshman QB. Who's just going to tear up the UNLV defense.
But here's the thing. Virginia's not very good either, and they only won by 18 points.
Yeah, UNLV, I think, keeps it to under 20. And Tony Sanchez is key in this game. Will be, can he build a little bit more depth? Can he rotate guys in and out to play all four quarters?
How did you feel real quick about them switching QBs throughout the game a little bit in that first half?
I wasn't a huge fan.
It was reasonably productive running the ball.
It was extremely productive. But I wasn't a huge fan of it.
It was odd. That's why I kind of felt, not to recap last week, we didn't get to chat, but when they kicked that field goal, I don't know why on third down they didn't stick the backup QB in there to give the threat, because they knew what was going to happen with Blake Decker in there. He was going to pass on third and four, whatever it was, that short field goal. I kind of felt, stick the backup in there. He's done it before. They know he runs, but he did complete one pass. So that's my little thought on that. I think UCLA, they're going to be too good. They're going to win against UNLV. But really quick, what do you think the crowd's going to be? Because it's only a 3-hour drive from Los Angeles.
I think it might come close to sold out.
I do too. It's Sanchez's home opener.
Yeah, I don't think it's just because it's going to be a strong UCLA crowd, which it absolutely will be. I think there's going to be a bunch of interested UNLV fans.
I'm hoping that's the case, because if they're doing what they think he can do, and he's pumping up the crowd, pumping up the city. I want to see Blake Decker be a little more accurate. In a running game, there was nobody really stood out to me in the ground game for UNLV. But saying that, UCLA's defense didn't look very good.
Keith Whiteley was doing.
68. Yeah, not too bad. Him and then backup, Kurt Palandek, the backup QB. And Decker surprisingly had 35 rushing yards as well. But they need, George Nafahu only had 4 carries. I think UNLV could have some success, because Decker looked very accurate versus NIU. Well, not very accurate, 50-something percent for him. That's pretty good from what we've seen in the past. I think it'll make a 3-touchdown game for UCLA, but it won't be UCLA's up 30-0 and UNLV scores in their backups. They'll have some success against the starters, but just a little bit.
Yeah, UNLV covers the spread.
All right, anything else you need to add? I know we got to wrap it up here.
Nope. I think that's a good close podcast. What was it? We went on about an hour?
We're 51 minutes here. I'm going to wrap it up. Check out all the games. We have a lot of stuff over the weekend, Friday and Saturday as well. MWCConnection.com. Check everything out there. Try to watch whatever game you can, because the slate overall is not great until the evening. So try to check out a couple games. Last thing for you. If you had to watch one game only that's not Boise State, what would you be watching out of this conference slate?
Oh, San Diego State, Cal.
Okay, you say that one. I was going to go that one perhaps, but I still say New Mexico Tulsa, just because the difference factor, and there's going to be a lot of points.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It should be a good weekend, so check out what you can. Again, check us out, MWCConnection.com. Like we said, we're biasing against every team we talk about, so if you don't like what we said, well, you know where we stand on every team, right? So that's what we got tonight. So again, check out our website, and hope your team does well this weekend, and enjoy. Oh, wait, one last thing. Give us a rating, like I say it every week. 5 stars. Tell us what you really feel. Go to SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, do all that stuff to check us out. But have a fun weekend, and we're at week number 2.